Grace and peace in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 21. Let us pray. Lord, your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. May it penetrate our hearts and minds this blessed day. Teach your church of the last days of your coming and give us faith and hope and joy as your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Apologize for the hymn mix-up. Did you all sing 538? All right. I apologize. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Today, I want to talk about the Ten Commandments. But not the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai that God gave to Moses. But I want to talk about the Ten Imperatives or the Ten Commandments that are in your gospel lesson. These, what we might call the Ten Commandments of living in the last day. And they're right here in the gospel. Jesus gives 10 imperatives. We are the baptized. We are Christians. We believe in Christ. We're forgiven. We're saved. Now, how are we supposed to live by the power of the Holy Spirit as we live in the last days with all this trouble coming? And read Luke 21. You may not want to be a Christian anymore. All sorts of trouble in the church, false messiahs, false prophets, persecution, martyrdom. Some of you will die for the faith. Christ is simple, blunt, straightforward. He sugarcoats nothing. This is the way it's going to be. Trouble in the world of war and fighting, earthquakes, famines, trouble, people fainting, people in distress. How are we to live? Run and hide in a cave somewhere, huh? Can't wait till it's over. No, we are not to live in fear and go run and hide in a cave somewhere. But we're bold witnesses for our Lord. And let me go through these 10 commands that are in the gospel lesson. And I'm going to summarize them in three things, three commands. Just like we summarize the 10 commandments at Mount Sinai in two, love God and love your neighbor. I'm going to summarize these 10 commandments of Christian living in the last days with three. And number one is, as we live in the last days as the baptized, know the truth. And keep the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. As Christ begins his discussion, his preaching on the last days, and we talked about this in Bible class, he starts off with false messiahs. And he said, and this is commandment one, see that you are not led astray. It's an imperative in the Greek. Don't be led astray. Don't be deceived. It's number one. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. False teachers, false messiahs, false doctrine. And the time is at hand. Do not, and then Christ says, number two, do not go after them. There you have the first two. Do not be deceived, led astray. Do not go after the false messiahs and false teachings. And those two, summarized, know the truth and keep the truth of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and don't stray, church. And as I mentioned in class today, this is number one. This is preached first by Jesus. Because of all the signs, this is the one that can lead you and your family to hell. Wars will not do that. Earthquakes can't do that. Famines can't do that. All the trouble in the world cannot do that. That's trouble. But you follow false teaching and you lose your faith, you'll be damned. That's why it's number one. Keep the truth. When you come to church today, what was the most important thing to do as you drove to church? The most important thing by far. Stay on the road. Duh. Stay on the road or you won't get here. No matter if there was rain out there, and Lord knows we need rain, we pray for rain. Or there was snow, or there were potholes or something else, there could be all sorts of trouble out there. You need to stay on the road no matter what, because the road will get you here. Stay in Christ, stay in the Word of God, stay in your baptism. No matter what happens, war, fighting, trouble, stay in Christ and you'll get there. You'll be in heaven. He will get you there. And so just consider for a moment just the catechism, the six chief parts of our catechism. What truth, pastor, do I need to keep? Well, we could say in summary, your catechism. And there are six chief parts. There's the Ten Commandments. Know them well, the law, and the purpose of the law, which shows sin and leads us to Christ. And there's the creed, That what you're going to confess after the sermon, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, know who God is and know what the persons of the Trinity have done for us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, know that well, teach it to the kids. And there's the Lord's Prayer, know what prayer is, the Lord's Prayer, and why we pray and what we are to pray. There's baptism, know what baptism is, the power of holy baptism, and have your kids baptized and stay in your baptism. That's called confession, absolution in the church. And communion, the Lord's Supper. Know what communion is, of why we do this, what it is, the power of it, the body and blood of Christ. Know all this. Teach it all. Don't assume people just know this stuff. And then the office of the keys, the power of the church to forgive sins. Know what sin is. Confess sin. Hear the absolution. You might go over the six chief parts. Teach them. Memorize the Bible verses. Know the truth and nothing but the truth. You know, Butterball has a talk line where you can call and ask questions about the turkey you're going to cook for Thanksgiving. And I heard this where they actually had someone call in, and someone wanted to deep fat fry, I guess, their turkey in oil. And they actually asked, can I fry my turkey in motor oil? Not even I'm that foolish, huh? Do you want to go to turkey at that? Do you want to go to Thanksgiving at that person's house? Friends, it's okay to mess up a turkey. There's something else to eat. Don't mess up the truth, because there's nothing else. It's all going to lead to hell. And Jesus Christ and the Word of God is the truth. And there's nothing else out there. It's what saves. It's the road. It's the path. Know the truth, the whole truth. The next six commandments in Luke 21 are the meat of the text. And the basic message would be always trust. Totally, 100% trust in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus, not yourself, not anyone or anything else. Trust in Christ, the life of faith. He continues as he talks about the end. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, number three, do not be terrified. There's number three, which means have faith. There are wars and rumors of wars. There always will be. As I mentioned in class today, the war with God is over. God's at peace with us. God forgives us. God's reconciled to us at the cross. He forgives our sins. Christ has defeated sin. He's defeated death, the devil, and all of hell. The victory is ours. And when we have that great victory, that war is over. The little wars we have here aren't that big of a deal. They are, I realize, but in a sense of perspective, they're not. For I have heaven. I have eternal life. Have faith. Don't be afraid of wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation. He continues on then as he talks about persecution. But before all this, verse 12 I'm on, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Still happening in our world. People drug before authorities that will die for their faith. This will be your opportunity, and this really is an imperative, to bear witness. It's really an imperative. Bear witness in this. This is an opportunity when you're persecuted and you're drug before the authorities. Bear witness. Give a testimony. That's four. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. That's five. Which basically means some translations say, don't worry. Don't worry what you will say. So bear witness, four, five. Don't worry what you're going to say. Have faith. Trust. God will give you the words. God will work it for good. I read an amazing story about mission work in North Korea this week. I got a little book on Christian missions in North Korea. And you wonder, is there any missions in North Korea? And true story, a missionary went there in the around 1860, 150 years ago, 160 years ago, he went there, one of the first missionaries in North Korea. He was all excited to go there. His name was Robert Thomas. And he had 500 Chinese Bibles he was going to take there and spread the word of God. And he planned to be there a while and build a church in North Korea. Well, he went on an American ship. And when they entered North Korean waters, the North Korean army stopped them and said, get out of here. We don't want to trade with you. We don't want you. Get out. And so a battle happened between the American ship and the North Korean army. And to make a long story short, the North Koreans set the ship on fire. And so the Americans had to get off the ship and go to shore. And as they went to shore, the North Korean army was there with machetes. and killed them all. And the story is told that Robert Thomas, the missionary, carried his box of Chinese Bibles to shore. And when they approached him to kill him, he bowed down and in North Korean, he said, "Peace, peace, don't kill me, peace." And he had the Bibles in the box, and the North Korean soldier still went up and beheaded him. And it seemed all so useless. He gets to shore, he sets one foot on shore, and he's dead. How could this be of any good? Well, the story continues. The man that killed him had a guilt trip because he knew he was a holy man. He knew he came in peace. And so this man, out of guilt, took the 500 Chinese Bibles, he himself was not a Christian, took them to his home. And he ripped out the pages of the Chinese Bibles and made them wallpaper in his home to honor the guy he killed in some kind of an odd way. I'm going to honor this holy man and put the pages of the Bible on my walls. He then read the pages and became a Christian. And people in the village came to see this weird wallpaper, and they read the Bible on his walls, and many of them became Christians. And the man who killed him, his nephew, became a missionary in North Korea. Amazing how God works. Be a bold witness. Be willing to be a martyr if so called upon. The gospel of the Lord cannot be stopped. Nowhere. Preach it. Teach it. Be a witness. Do not fear. And then under the theme of faith, he talks about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And these are words that teach us to have faith too. But when you, I'm down at verse 20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea, number 6, the 6th commandment, flee to the mountains. And let those who are inside the city depart, that's 7. And let those who are out in the country, who are out in the country, enter it, meaning enter the, let not them enter the city, stay out in the country, that's 8. So what's the Lord talking about? He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Lord is speaking around 33 AD. This is Holy Week. Tuesday of Holy Week, on Friday, they will kill him. It's one of his last sermons. And so the Lord is saying that in 70 AD, about 40 years from when he's speaking, the Roman army is going to come and destroy Jerusalem. And the Christians are supposed to flee the city. Leave the city. Don't stay there and think that God's going to protect you in the city. Get out of the city and run and flee. Flee where? Flee to the New Jerusalem, which is the Christian church. And 70 AD was the judgment of God of Jerusalem because of the rejection of Jesus. Jesus lived there somewhat. He died there. He rose again there. Pentecost happened there. 3,000 people baptized in the city. And the Lord gave another 40 years for the gospel to be preached there. But the Jews generally, again, some of them are saved. And they're still being saved. But generally they rejected Christ. And so this was Judgment Day, which foreshadows the ultimate Judgment Day. And the Lord now is giving every opportunity for people to hear the gospel, the Gentiles now. But the application for us would be this. Jerusalem was a city of self-righteousness, a city of legalism, a city of, I'm God's child, I do good things, I'll surely make it. God will never attack Jerusalem because I'm God's and I obey the law. It was a city of self-righteousness. And when the Lord says flee, he says to us, flee your self-righteousness. Flee your pride and your ego, where you think you can earn it yourself. You think you're good enough. Flee all of that. May that be crucified in you and run to the New Jerusalem, the church, where Christ is himself. Run to the Word. Run to the sacrament. Flee here. Flee to the absolution. Have your sins forgiven. Don't be self-righteous. Know that your righteousness is in the Son of Righteousness named Jesus. Which, in other words, means have faith. Trust in Christ alone as you live in the last days. Hold on to Christ and run from anything that's not of Christ. And I mean run. The Greek means run fast. Do you run fast to come here? Or does it have to fit into your schedule somehow? That's pathetic, friend. Run. I don't care if you break the speed limit sometimes to get here on time. Okay, don't do that maybe. You don't want an accident. But you get the idea. Urgency. This is Christ, his holy word, his sacrament, my salvation. For me and my kids, I'm going to be there and be there often, and I'm not going to miss for anything. But I know there's always something else I got to do, Pastor. No, there's not. And then the last words are, in summary, rejoice in the triumph, rejoice in heaven, rejoice in the last day. And the Lord at the end of the text says about the last days, and there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. It's like another flood coming in a way, like Noah's floods recalls. People fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, church, what are you supposed to do? Hide? Run? Oh, no. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Rejoice in the triumph. We're going to heaven. I'm going home. This Lord who comes in glory, he's not just my judge. He's my brother. I'm not afraid of my brother. He's the brother who died for me, who rose again for me, who washes me in baptism, who feeds me himself. He's my brother who forgives my sins, who's written my name in heaven. I'm not afraid. I stand up tall, lift up my head. My redemption is there. The whole world runs in fear. Jesus, I've been waiting for you. Take me home. Now we Christians say on this earth, here am I, send me, send me. On that final day we say, here am I, take me, take me. I've been waiting. I read a study where it's good to be tall. They did a study on tall people. And tall people are wealthier. So I expect my son and some of you to be quite wealthy, right? They just are by studies. And tall people are healthier by a study. The Lord here is saying on that final day, stand tall. Whether you're 2 foot tall, little child, or you are 7 foot 10, stand tall. You're people of the resurrection. You're people that are baptized. You're my children. Be bold. Be full of joy. Be full of hope. Your salvation has come. You're going home. Stand tall. Lift up your heads. How do we live in the last days? There you have the 10 summarized in 3. First Lutheran, know the truth and keep it. Put your total faith in Jesus Christ through all things. And rejoice, be people of joy and hope, for the ultimate triumph is coming soon. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God which transcends all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.